Good morning. I want to say a happy Easter to every single one of you who is watching today, wherever in this world you are watching. I pray that as you hear the word of the Lord today, that God steps into your front room or your bedroom or your car, wherever you are, and meets you with an outpouring of grace. So I want to begin this Easter Sunday with prayer. Father, thank you that we have this opportunity to communicate your heart, your thoughts, your words. And somehow in the great mystery of what you've designed, you transfer even through the communication of sounds, supernatural power and grace. Because it was the word heard in us that prompted us to respond to the message of salvation. And the biggest miracle we could ever experience took place through the speaking of words. Thank you today that every person who watches and listens today will receive something not just in their ears, but in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to speak to you today on resurrection, intercession, and declaration in this corona world. Around the globe, people are struggling with this pandemic, as it's called. And I want to just on this Easter Sunday start off by looking a little bit at the message of Easter, since this is Easter, but really apply the power and the glory and the life of Easter to what's happening right now around the world and in your circumstance. And so let's read a few verses of scripture in John 19 and verse 30, around the time of Christ's crucifixion. You see, Jesus says some very, very significant words in John 19 and verse 30. The Bible says, when he had received the drink, this is when he's on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So the last words that Jesus uttered prior to giving up his spirit, dying, was, "It is finished." What he was referring to is the complete and entire package of redemption. Now let's go back and to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and look at a few verses here as we uncover this Easter story, and then we'll dig into how the Easter story applies to your life and your family and your business and your finance today. Matthew 28 and verse 1 says, after the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus." Around the globe, both saint and sinner are looking for Jesus. They're looking for someone who has the answers. He says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you and is going ahead of you and is going ahead of you." I want to say to you today that whatever is going on in your life right now, Jesus is going ahead of you. He's going ahead of you. You're not traveling this journey alone. He's going ahead of you. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. verse 11. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. I'm really wanting just to establish the foundation that Easter is all about the resurrection of Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you," is the spirit living in you? I'm sure you would say yes, if you know Christ as your Savior. "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you." And a few verses over in Romans 8 and verse 34, all on this whole resurrection Easter theme, says, "Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." That's an amazing thought. The second person of the Trinity is actually praying for you. You think his prayer will be answered? Says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or virus or persecution," I added that, "or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Verse 37, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors," not weaklings, not victims. In all these things, the Bible says, we are more than conquerors. It's so vital to establish in your own inner person that you are more than a conqueror, that no virus, no threat, no subsequent circumstance to the coming of the virus is going to diminish your life. It's only going to be used by God to add to you. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, or powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, love is what brings us close, doesn't it? I'm really missing you all. Normally, I can get close to you. I can hug you. But love is one of those things that brings us close. And that's the kind of love that God has for us. It draws us close to him, regardless of circumstances. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 tells us that God has provided for us a plan, a strategy, because God always expects his people to have a strategy to deal with whatever they face. You know, you get up and you don't know what the day will bring, but all of a sudden you get news. On the last day of 2019, we stood on this platform and we told you the word of the Lord for 2020 was new days, new ways. And none of us at that moment knew what was coming down the road. We didn't know about the virus, but the virus came and it has prompted us to make new ways of living, to have and develop a strategy for dealing with whatever happens in life. You know, God has a plan. We know in Jeremiah 29:11 that God has a plan. It's a good plan. It's a plan to bless us and prosper us and give us a hope and a future. And he expects us to have a plan as well, not to just travel as victims, crying and suffering and hurting because we don't know what to do about what we face. And so God has given us the opportunity to understand what a plan can do and what it can provide for us. And he commands us in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord. To be strong, not be weak. Not live as though Christ didn't live in you. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so wherever you are today, whatever's going on in your circumstance, the Holy Spirit's coming to you right now to strengthen you in your body, strengthen you in your mind, strengthen you in your finance, strengthen you in your family, strengthen you in your business. help you rise to that place of strength that God said belongs to you. That's who you are and who He made you to be. I like this verse. I think it's especially appropriate for this time. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18, the Bible says, "The Lord will rescue me." You should say wherever you are today, as I'm saying it, you say it aloud, "The Lord will rescue me. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom." You know, the Bible says that in the last days, the world's going to be obsessed with two fundamental messages, peace and safety. And certainly you can see that being ramped up in our world today. But God says, "I'll rescue you from every evil attack." And so we want to go into that verse and take out of it by faith the power of that promise so we can live immune to the suffering that is all around us. You know, Easter is about, as I'm sure you understand, it's about resurrection. And resurrection is pulling something back for which there was no hope. You know, it's life from death. And this is not just a day in our lives. It's actually a lifestyle. It's a way of living, a resurrection, a resurrected life. And you discover in life's journey that God has to come and save you. He has to come and resurrect you. He has to come and deliver you. He has to come and rescue you time and again. Because there are challenges, there are threats, there are attacks that come on your marriage, your health, your income, your business, your ministry, your dreams, your physical body, whatever it is, there are those things that come. And God says, "You need to know how I will work with you to make sure you are safe and that you deal with every threat that comes your way." 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 says, "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril." God has a good track record. He started off by saying, "The worst virus that mankind has ever known already shattered the earth with its impact." And that is the virus of sin. And sin brought about eternal death. And here the Bible says God has delivered us from such a deadly peril. And then it goes on to say, "And He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope." You have to set your hope. You don't just get out of bed and hope something happens. You have to set your hope and your mind and the course and the direction that you're going to go from the inside out. And your declaration, your speech, your confession, your actions all align with the fact that you've set your hope that whatever comes your way, God, the deliverer, is your portion. He says, "On Him we've set our hope that He will continue to deliver us." Continue to deliver us. And Galatians 1 and verse 14 speaks of God rescuing us in the present evil age. So if all these things come under threat in the course of our lives, how is Easter to be applied to this particular season of lockdown? You know, many people are facing this threat of not just the virus itself, but the impact of it. They can't go to work. They can't receive income. Their business has gone away. All kinds of consequences have come. So where is the believer? Where is the Christian in this situation? Well, the message of Easter applies to the current situation, because the resurrection of Christ is God's response to every human condition. When everything looks hopeless, without any possibilities, God says, "I can pull it back. I can pull it back." The empty tomb and the risen Christ are forever the timeless message that no virus, no global condition is greater than the power of God. So, how do we move from panic to peace and from into a place where we're trusting the Lord every day? How do we see manifested the supernatural deliverance that God has promised to us? How are we kept safe? You know, probably you've heard that expression, stay safe, recently more than you've ever heard it in your life, because people know that everybody on the planet is under the threat of this virus. And so it's a way of encouraging others to stay safe. Well, how will you stay safe? Well, this morning on this Easter Sunday, I'd like to give you a couple of ways of staying safe, a couple of ways of employing the strategy that God has given to us for responding to a global situation so that it doesn't knock at our door and have any success. And so I'd like to look at this whole thing of prayer, because I believe that there is on this Easter Sunday, in prayer, in our understanding of prayer, some awesome, amazing keys, not only to preserve us, but to release the miraculous in our circumstance. Prayer can be defined in this way. Prayer can be defined as speaking words that make a supernatural difference. Speaking words that make a supernatural difference. So, I'm sure that you are going to take something from this message. There's really no point in making a prayer if you don't believe that there can come any supernatural impact from the words that you utter. When you pray to the Lord, there has to be a belief that God hears you. And as 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, He answers because you've prayed according to His will. It's words that have a supernatural difference. They make a supernatural difference. And so in the Bible, we see that there are really three different forms of prayer. And I know prayer is a very big topic, and I can't cover anywhere near a small percentage of it today. But I want to look at three forms of prayer. The first one that Jesus gave us an example was petition or intercession. And Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death, and He was heard. Jesus was heard. He prayed, and He was heard. Now, petitions are simply requests. They're asking God for something. And they're asking God to do something. And this petition or intercession is standing before God in behalf of yourself based upon what Christ did on the cross, or standing before God in behalf of someone else. So Christ intercedes for us. He prays for us. We go to the throne of grace and we make our petitions, our requests with thanksgiving to the Lord. And Jesus did this, as the scripture here says. So Jesus offered petitions or intercessions, and He's still doing that today. But we also see Jesus speak words in what I call authoritative declaration. Prayer is speaking words, believing they have a supernatural impact, then intercession has a supernatural impact, as we'll see, and authoritative declaration has a supernatural impact. And if you have the note, you can go through the scriptures there, Matthew 7:29, Mark 2, verses 10 to 12 and following. But I want to read Luke 18, verses 42 and 43, where Jesus said to the blind man, receive your sight. He did not say, Father, now you see this blind man here. He's been blind for a long time, And if you would just heal him, he was not asking the Father to heal him. He was speaking an authoritative declaration. He was giving a command to this man. And with those words that have supernatural impact and power, sight came to this man. As the Bible says, he said, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. So what's the difference? Well, in a petition or an intercession, you're asking God for something. In a authoritative declaration, you're still using words, but you are speaking to conditions, limbs, eyes, circumstances, debt, whatever it is, you're talking to things. And I didn't design this, God designed it. God designed it so that you and I could use it. Because you have to ask yourself the question, where is Christ today? Christ in the earth today lives in us. As Colossians 1:27 says, it's Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so that same Christ can speak through you and through me in authoritative declaration. And it has supernatural impact. And we see in Mark 16, verses 17 and follow, says, "Of these signs will accompany those who believe. Believe. In my name, they will drive out demons." You can say words to invisible beings called demons, and they'll go. They'll leave. Think about it for a moment. There are some demons employed in the earth today in all kinds of ways. Certainly one in a virus. And the Bible says they will speak in new tongues. If you're a follower of Christ filled with the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to speak with new tongues. So Jesus modeled for us both petition and intercession. He also spoke authoritative commands, and he spoke healing to people. And so the Bible tells us that same Jesus lives in us, and he tells us we're to do that, but we're also to speak in tongues. And it is a heavenly language. It is the Holy Spirit speaking through us. They are spirit words that, because we speak them, we're built up. There's a supernatural impact in us as we speak. They're spirit-spoken words. They're part of the vital delivery of grace system that God has given to us. Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Now, let's sharpen the message a little more today so we can take this resurrection intercession and this resurrection declaration a little bit sharper in terms of how the Scripture wants us to employ a strategy in our corona world. If resurrection is bringing back from the dead, and it is, there is the resurrection through faith-filled petition, and we have an example of that in Job. And I want you to capture something in the story of Job, because Job had an incurable condition in his body. Satanic attack had caused him to suffer immeasurable loss. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his possessions, all of the livestock he had. Everything was gone. It was gone. He was so low that when his friends came to see him, the Bible says they didn't recognize him. This guy was as far down as he could get. And at the very bottom, in his discouragement and depression, his wife says to him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And, you know, she didn't really have any answers for him either. That's where he was. He lived in his own depression and turmoil. and his friends who came to comfort him, when you read through the book of Job, they didn't do the best job of being comforter to him. But I want you to see something in Job 42 in verse 10, and we're going to put this into practice before we finish this message today. Job 42 in verse 10 says, after Job had prayed for his friends, you see, there's something very profound in that simple statement. When you get in trouble, it is very easy to become so focused on yourself and your own trouble. And Job had a few months to live with every day the notion of all the stuff and all the questions he couldn't answer. That's where he was. But here in this book of Job, this verse stands out, probably as one of the most significant verses in the book of Job. It says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. Job interceded for people who didn't understand him, at times were critical of him. At his lowest moments of life, he interceded for them. He prayed for them. And today, God wants you to do that. He wants us to do that. Because the Bible says, after Job interceded in behalf of his friends, God so blessed him that the remainder of his life was filled with health and wealth. And in the end, he lost 10 children. God gave him 10 children back. I know some of you are thinking, but Pastor, I don't want 10 children. Well, pray half a prayer, get five. No, no, I'm only teasing. But I'm talking about here is that there is a powerful principle here. When you get out of yourself and you speak in intercession to others, then a release of grace comes to you because you are an intercessor. So if you and I want to live in blessing, we must learn to speak on others' behalf for blessing to come on them, their health, their finances, their recovery, their family, their education. And so before we finish this message today, I want you to stand to your feet wherever you are, and I want you to just take a few moments here right now on this Easter Sunday and say, I want to employ this message of this principle, this strategy of intercession. I want to pray. I want to pray for others. I want to say words that make a supernatural difference. Other people are going to experience the power of God because I interceded in their behalf. And as a result, God will look after me and the blessing of the Lord will come into my life. That's what the Bible is teaching us. And so I'd like you just to take a couple of minutes right now while I'm talking. Stand up on your feet if you can and say, all right, I'm going to begin to pray for my friends, my family, for whoever comes into your mind, those people that have been your enemies, those people who have not understood you. Right now, Father, we come before you in their behalf. Lord, those that we have known, our friends, Lord, those that are sick and suffering, we say their names now, Lord. Even as they come to mind, touch them, heal them. Lord, cause there to come resurrection to their family, their business, their marriage. Whatever it is that they've lost, we thank you, Lord, today because we are speaking words that you told us to speak. There's grace that's flowing to them from the throne of grace, from the Father of all grace, out of the riches of your grace. Thank you, Lord, our cousin, our uncle, Lord, our grandmother, we speak, Lord, grace to them. And we thank you, Lord, that you hear us today as we pray. And we ask you, Lord, to touch their lives in brand new ways with refreshing and goodness and health and wholeness and increase. We ask you, Lord, to do for them what no man can do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, as we continue to finish this message, there was a resurrection intercession. resurrection came to Job's life because he interceded for others. I want to say to you, there's resurrection declaration. There's a speaking of words with authority that's not a petition, but it's a spiritual commanding of conditions. God put you and I in a position where we are to command conditions, ordering those conditions to comply with a spoken command. Just like a military person of authority and rank speaks to something of a lower rank or someone of a lower rank, and that person responds. You and I have a military mode in our Christian life, and God wants us to employ this strategy as we walk through this corona world. The resurrection speaking activity is the kind that produces, because it's God's words in your mouth and out of your mouth that release the power of God. Isaiah 44 and verse 26 says, "Who carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the predictions of his messengers." Mark 11, 23, that I'm sure you know, says, "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain," not asking God to move with the mountain, saying, "Mountain, I'm saying to you, move, move, move. Go throw yourself into the sea." God wants you and I to understand in this season, we're not meant to lie down and let corona and everything that's come as a result of corona and other stuff that isn't even related to roll over on top of us. That's not the message of Easter. The message of Easter is that you're a conqueror, you're a winner, you're more than victorious. And so when you speak with authoritative declaration, you don't start what you have to say, "Father," because you're not talking to the Father, you're talking to conditions. You're commanding those conditions to change virtually by the power and authority invested in you. The fact that God has made you a commander, then he has commanded you to command things to change. And just as Jesus said, "Eyes open, be healed." And that's what you are to do today. Let me give you an example of this in John 11, verse 43 and verse 44. Jesus illustrates this kind of prayer, this kind of speaking of words with supernatural impact and power. The Bible says in John 11, 43 and 44, he says, "When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' And the dead man came out." Jesus spoke to something that was dead, that had no hope, that looked like it was finished and over. And today, you want to speak to some things that look like they're finished and over. You want to exercise a spiritual authority. You say, "Pastor, I've never done this before. I'm not the kind of person that speaks to things. I might ask God for something, but I haven't. This is a new day. This is a new day. We need to employ every single strategy that God has given us against the works of darkness. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 8 that Christ came to destroy the works of the evil one. He showed us how it was done, and then he left, and it was as though he said, "Okay, now you go and do what I've done. Everywhere Satan shows up, I want you to do what I did." And when you see somebody who's sick, you command, you speak to that condition in my name. In my name, you'll cast out demons. Every work employed by Satan, you will command it. You say, "Pastor, I know what you're saying." I'm glad you know what I'm saying. But God, by the Spirit, is reminding you today. He's reminding you today. He's reminding me today. That's something he's given us. We must employ it more and more and more so the world can see who we are, what we have, because it makes a difference in people's lives. And so I want you to stand in your home again right now, and I want you to begin to command conditions to change. Maybe somebody is sick in your home now. Command that to speak to that condition in Jesus' petition. We did that already now. I want you to you the increase of God. You will be blessed supernaturally. You don't have a job. A job is coming to you. I release that job to you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bless your family to walk in harmony, love, insight, and understanding in Jesus' name. I bless your ministry in Jesus' name. Some of you have thought, would I ever emerge to a larger place of influence for the glory of God? Today, God releases grace and wisdom to you, and in the next 2 weeks, you will hear from heaven, from the Lord himself, some of the thoughts that he has in mind for you, where he's taking you, where you're going. I release, I speak the revelation of God Almighty about your particular life to you in Jesus' name. I speak the peace of God to your home. Fear, I command you to go. In Jesus' name. You've been found out. You've been discovered. You've been discerned. You're no longer in this home. You're no longer in the home that I'm speaking to right now. You are an alien, a stranger, an intruder, and a thief. You go in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today that you have given us these amazing strategies to intercede for others. And as a result, because we're living selflessly as you not live for ourselves, just employ our speech ability in our own behalf. Lord, we would pray for others and we would ask you for others. We would intercede for others. And thank you, Lord, for that great strategy. And we thank you, Lord, you also put us in a position with Christ where we could speak with commands and authority. Declaration. Lord, teach us to walk in these things till they become habits. And throughout this week and the weeks to come, more and more we'll intercede for others and we will speak words of authoritative declaration. In Jesus' name. You know, I'd like to encourage you as we finish today. There are a couple of songs that I think are very appropriate for this time and season. One of them is called Because He Lives. Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. A mini singer. You can find that on YouTube or whatever. And the other one is Redeemer, by often sung, probably most famously by Nicole C. Mullen. Redeemer. And one last thing I could advise you to do if you have that possibility, that option, is to watch the film called The Passion, The Passion of the Christ. And let that, for you and for me, fill your spirit, your mind, your heart again, so that you can stand in that place of resurrection position and do what God has given you the power, the ability, and the resource for doing. God bless you on this wonderful, special Easter Sunday.